Good morning. Today's scripture reading will be from Luke chapter 7, verses 18 to 23. The disciples of John reported all these things to him, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And when the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?'" In that hour he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and on many who were blind he bestowed sight. And he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Let us have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord, once again for this gathering, Lord, and how freely that we can just get together and worship you and praise you. Father, we pray for our loved ones, our family members, friends, those who don't know you, Lord. And you know every single one of them, and our prayers go to them that you touch their hearts, Lord, and they surrender and give their lives to you, Lord. In your wonderful and blessed name I pray. Amen.
It would be very silly of me to ask you this morning whether you have ever doubted in your life, because I believe every one of us, at one time or another, or daily, we doubt things and people. And looking at the word doubt, the Greek word used here is apistia. When you read the Bible carefully, you'll see that the word doubting or apistia in Greek is used quite often. Now, you say, well, doubt, what do you mean by doubt? Doubt is, it means so many things to so many people. The word apistia, which means lack of faith, which is good, actually. If someone, when your son or daughter comes and says something, you tell him or tell her, "Look into my eyes and tell me the truth." That moment you have doubted that statement. Or your wife or husband says something, and in your heart you may doubt the statement or the honesty of the person. You listen to someone preach and you doubt whether this person is just making up stories or this is exactly the truth. Now, then there are situations where doubting is good and other situations where doubting is bad. Doubting is good when someone offers you something to eat or drink and says, "That's good for you." You say, "No, just a minute, hold it. I'm not sure." So we have to be very careful how we use the word doubting, or oligopistia, which means having a little faith. The word oligopistia is often used where doubting comes, is used in English, and means a little faith. Yeah, I believe you, but I'm not sure. And when it comes to our faith, is in Russian the same thing? You were going like that. Yeah. So oligopistia in Greek and in Russian something similar means having little faith, not rejecting completely and yet not being sure. Jesus said that among those born of a woman there is no one greater than John. Wow, what a statement. Can you imagine if someone would say about you that of all the people born on this earth, you are the greatest. And yet, later on we'll see what Jesus says. And yet, John the Baptist, now in prison, seems to be having a doubt attack. Even though John had testified about Jesus being the Lamb of God in John 1:29, we read, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, that is not something said very lightly. John the Baptist believed in his heart. It was revealed to him that Jesus was the Lamb of God. So at that point, his statement is absolutely true. And yet, John the Baptist had preached and baptized hundreds of people. He had testified about Jesus and had said that he was the one that they were waiting for. He had said these things. Actually, John believed that God had sent him to prepare the way for the Messiah. In John 1:23, we hear John actually saying, I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord. But now, in prison, John is asking himself and wondering, why is this happening to me? I mean, you put yourself in his shoes. John the Baptist, who proclaimed Jesus to be the Messiah. John the Baptist, who not only believed in his heart, but he proclaimed it. And he said, he is the Lamb of God. Now he is in prison. And he knew that Jesus had the power, the Messiah had the power to make things right. And still, he is in prison. Why is Jesus not doing something to get me out of prison, probably, he thought. If he is the one who we have been waiting for, why things are not getting better? Is he the one? Well, John the Baptist, all of a sudden, is overcome by the pressure of reality. The truth is that John is in prison, and John is the one who knows the truth, that Jesus is the Messiah. And yet, the Messiah is doing nothing. Forget that they are even relatives. He saved many. He did this and that, and yet, he is not doing anything for John the Baptist. Have you ever doubted? I believe all of us have had to struggle with doubts at one time or another. One of the most effective tools the devil uses is doubts. Doubts. The devil is master of all lies. The devil knows exactly where to hit you. The devil knows exactly how vulnerable you are. And when the devil comes to you and he wants to attack you, he won't come and say, you know what? Forget about God. There is no God. The other day, my wife picked up the phone. Someone, a gentleman, called to say something that upset my wife very much. He had received a truck. You know, though, if you believe that trucks are not working, they're working very well. The fact that people are reading them and getting upset is a good sign. This gentleman called my wife and said, what is this? You mean to say you believe in God? There is no such a thing as God. There is no God. And hung up on her. Well, the Bible says the fool said in his heart, there is no God. So the devil is not that stupid. I'm to come to you, to Stella, and say, Stella, you know what? There is no God. No! God is going to go to Stella and to Joseph and to Tamar and everyone else and say, you know what? There is God. But God is such a loving God. God will understand. You are in the flesh. And you know what? That church where you're going, it's overdoing it, okay? I mean, talking about sin and hell and salvation. There are so many beautiful churches where you get a cup of coffee, you can have a sandwich, and you can listen to good music. And you say, that makes a lot of sense. I have one life to live. And then, or the devil may come to a very fanatic Baptist or someone from a different, and say, you know what, you are a good Baptist. But this person says this. And all of a sudden you start thinking, oh yeah, let me just investigate. And you go on the internet and you start, and all of a sudden your mind now is getting confused. Well, and then doubts set into your thinking. You don't doubt about God, yet you doubt about that denomination, this denomination, that believer, the other believer. And all of a sudden, while you're investigating something, someone has written something that will take you somewhere else, and then what happens to your faith? Doubts may or will come, but we must not panic. The problem is not just like temptation. Temptations come to every one of us. Is there anyone here that is not being tempted daily? I don't know. If you are not being tempted, you are either dead or a holy person. Because I'm tempted daily, my wife is being tempted daily, and every one of us is being tempted daily. And the problem is not temptation, because every one of us is being tempted. The problem is when we allow temptation to settle in, and then we cater to that temptation, and that temptation will bring a doubt in our minds and things, and we'll sin. Well, doubting is like that. To doubt something for a moment, it could be healthy or it could be terrible. And yet we have to deal with that temptation right away. We cannot stay with that doubt, I mean. That doubt cannot stay there for too long, because it's going to grow and it will mushroom, and then we won't be able to deal with that. Faith is the opposite of doubt. Now, if I were 100% sure that my daughter or my grandson or my friend or my wife and he's telling me the absolute truth, and I had no doubt, then I wouldn't have any problems with doubt. And yet, all of us are tempted to maybe change a little, maybe cover a little. And so we live in the flesh where a lot of times doubts ruin our joy and peace. The way John the Baptist dealt with his doubts was to ask Jesus himself, who are you, Jesus? And I said, wonderful. Can you imagine? John did not go to a rabbi or call a rabbi, or he didn't ask his disciples, or he said, go to Jesus and ask him. Now, if you have any doubts of anything that is being preached here or anywhere, if you have any doubts about something you read somewhere and you're not sure, go to Jesus. You say, what are you talking about? How can I go to Jesus? Well, you can go to Jesus. And believe me, if you believe in God, if you believe in Jesus, and if you believe in prayer, that means that you believe that if you ask God to show you about something that is bugging you, and you bring it to him and say, Lord, I'm not sure. This doctrine, this thing, what my wife said, what my husband said, what my children are saying, have ruined my joy. Please give me the answer. He will. You say every time, and yet we have to be patient with God. Jesus did more than just to respond to John's question with a yes or no. That was interesting how Jesus responded. Jesus didn't say, tell him, yes, I'm the Messiah. He said something more. And when you go to God in prayer, God is not going to say yes or no, but He is going to tell you why and where and how. Jesus showed him the evidence of who Jesus claimed to be or of who He claimed to be. So he replied, and I quote Luke 7:22. So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. First, the blind, now they can see. The blind, now they can see. What a message! The blind man was healed. Jesus healed him. And the blind man now is tormented by the religious people. And who was he? What doctrine is that? Where is he coming from? Does he believe in this theory? Does he believe in that theory? I don't know. We will be tortured sometimes when we go to people and give our testimony. And all these blind men said, I don't know what you're talking about. All I know is that I was blind and now I see. The spiritual blindness is terrible. And yet when your eyes are open spiritually and you see God in your life and you see His hand in your life and people doubt your testimony, you say, I don't know. All I know that I was blind and now I see. Then Jesus said to them, the lame, those unable to walk, now they can walk. Wow, you say, how can you spiritualize on that? Wow. Very, very easy. There are those who are bound by sin. There are those who are bound by things that keep them enslaved and chained to something. And yet when God comes in your life and breaks those chains and He liberates you, now you can jump and you can be free. That's what the lame, now they can walk. Those with leprosy, diseases of all kinds, now are clean and cured. The thrust of everyone's testimony is that I was sick at one time. Spiritually sick, emotionally sick, physically sick. And I've heard people say to me, no, speak for yourself. I was never sick spiritually, I was never sick emotionally, I was never sick physically, and yet you look at them and you know they are sick. If not spiritually, spiritually especially, if you are not spiritually sick, then you are healthy and you have been cured, and the only one that can cleanse your spirit and give you life is God Himself. The deaf, now they can hear. How many times have you heard God's voice speak to you, and yet it made no sense? There are those who have been going to church all their life. I come from a country that used to be at least very, very religious, Greece. The Bible, the New Testament, was written in Greek, and the word was preached in Athens and everywhere in Greece. And yet, today, all these things have become just tradition. The deaf, now they can hear. The Bible says, Jesus said to John. And then he says, the dead now are alive. Someone went to a preacher and said once, You keep saying that I'm dead in sins, that we are dead in sin. I don't feel that I'm dead, and you always say that I have to confess that I'm a sinner. I don't have anything to confess. I don't feel anything. So this preacher said to him, really? What if you take a big weight, like 100 pounds or 200 pounds, and you lie down and we put that weight on you? Will you feel it? He said, of course I'm going to feel it. Oh, what if you take that big block or that heavy thing and put it on a dead person? Do you think that this dead person will feel that weight? Richard is laughing. It's true. And he said, no, he's dead. Well, that's precisely what I'm saying, he said. You are dead spiritually, emotionally, and you can't feel anything because you're dead. And yet, when God raises you from the dead, you will feel every little sin that comes on you. God gives you this sensitivity. Now, am I being very religious? Am I being narrow-minded? Am I being fanatic? I don't know what you call me, but all I'm saying is, since Jesus came into my life, I feel free and happy. And the joy of my salvation is there. And the only time I feel unhappy and guilty is when I break God's will or take my eyes away from God. The dead now are alive, Jesus said. And then he said something interesting. The poor can all hear the good news. In the beginning I said, what do you mean the poor can? Everyone. No, the rich people were not really interested in the gospel because they thought they had enough money to keep them safe. And yet, every time a rich man came relying on his riches and his education and his tradition, spiritual traditions, Jesus said, deal first of all with that thing and then come to me. Nicodemus came to him, good man, good leader. But he was stuck with his tradition. And he felt, Nicodemus rightly so, that his tradition and the laws are going to save him. And because he was an upright man and godly man, he thought that there's nothing to prevent him from going into eternity in heaven. But Jesus said, Nicodemus, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born from above, in other words, unless you are born again, meaning you are born physically, yes, and you can keep all the laws you want, and you can be faithful to your traditions. But unless your heart is transplanted with a brand new heart, which is now spirit-filled heart, you won't be able to inherit eternal life. The poor can hear the good news. Jesus sent this message to John. And Jesus knew that the evidence of his mission will be sufficient to make John believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And what is going to prove to your neighbor and to your relatives and to your friends about Jesus being the Messiah or God is the evidence of your words. That means unless you present to someone the evidence, in your life at least, of Christ being God, then they will doubt your message. Doubts may come to shake your faith. When doubts about some spiritual aspect or belief come, do not panic. Don't run to find answers in doctrinal, philosophical, or religious traditions. Go directly to the source of the truth, the Word of God. Verse 23 says, blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. I mean, if there was no danger of someone falling away from the truth, Jesus wouldn't say it. And Jesus said, blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. So when you are doubting about something, if you are doubting about material things, if you are doubting about spiritual things, if you are doubting about relationships, then the best way is either you deal with the other person, but even better, go to God and ask Him to reveal the truth to you. And not only He will yes or no, but He will help you understand the truth. Jesus here warns them not to fall away because they did not understand some of the things He said or He did. I've had many times people ask me, if you explain to me why Jesus did this, or if you explain to me why God allowed the devil to do that, or if you explain to me why God made a mistake when He created man and the garden, then I'll believe in God. Right? Just because I cannot explain it, just because so-and-so evangelist cannot explain it, just because there aren't enough writings about why God waited or did or said, it doesn't mean that you walk away from your faith. It makes you even get closer to God by telling Him, you know what, the pastor says this, but I don't understand it. Would you please, God, tell me, explain it to me. And then you may have a relationship problem. And just because you cannot understand the mind of your husband, the mind of your wife, or your fiancé, or because there have been some things that have been puzzling, you don't walk away from that relationship. You go to God and ask Him to help you deal with that. And you ask Him to show you the evidence of your faith or how we should deal with that. I've been dealing with many situations after the radio programs or whenever. And I have to deal with relationships between husband and wife and family problems. And most of the time, the problem seems to be doubts. Not that they don't have reasons why they doubt. There are reasons. And there is some evidence why the relationship is not doing well. And yet, because you cannot understand the other person, you don't walk away from the other person. We have to deal with the personality, the other person's personality. I cannot, even though we are married with my wife for 49 years, I cannot necessarily understand every thought, every feeling that she has. And if you say, well, after 49 years, if you can't, you must be very dumb. No, we change. And things happen. And because of that, my prayer is always to God to reveal to me a way of dealing with situation, to help me change. But I go to God. I don't go to all kinds of psychiatrists and family counseling that I have to pay $100, $200 for him to say, well, you know, the best way is you get a divorce and just find another partner. This is usually the advice you hear. But when you go to God, God says, okay, now I'll help you with this if you really concentrate and listen to what I have to say. Many today walk away from the faith. They claim to have walked away because Christ does not answer their prayers the way they wanted Him to answer, or because they are not satisfied with the answers He gives. As a matter of fact, there are situations in the Bible we see that there were people who could not trust what they heard. We have the best example, not the best, but one of the examples is when Jesus rose from the dead. And he appeared first to the women. And then he appeared to the disciples. And then when the disciples talked to Thomas, they said, Thomas, you know what? Guess what? Jesus is alive. And Jesus, we saw Jesus. And he walked with us and talked to us. And Thomas says, oh yeah. Let me just quote what happened. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into the side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Thomas, put your finger here. See my hand. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Now, for those, and we have a few Greeks here who are here, the Greek original says, Mi inu apistos alapistos. Mi inu apistos alapistos means don't be an unbeliever, but be a believer. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now, if you are looking for the evidence, if you want me to dissect and analyze God and present him on a platter, you are looking for trouble. Jesus said, blessed are those who believe without even seeing. And so you are blessed today. If you believe that Jesus is God, if you believe that Jesus can give you a new life and can change your life, you're blessed. But there are those who will say, no, I'm not a Christian. I'm of a different religion. I'm not a Protestant. I'm not a Baptist. I'm this, I'm that. It doesn't matter where you come or what your religious background is. What matters is that you have an empty heart, a void in your life. What matters is that there is a God-shaped vacuum, an emptiness that is wanting to be filled. That one piece of the puzzle is not there and your life is not complete. Whether you call yourself a Baptist, Protestant, Christian, or whatever you want to call that, doesn't matter. Make peace with God and believe that Jesus, God Himself, can change your life. And He will. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. And Lord, thank you for the evidence we see daily. We see the evidence in the changed lives. We see the evidence in nature around us. We see the evidence in the birth of a child. We see the evidence of you being in control even while we breathe, the air we breathe. And Lord, we come this morning to ask you please to strengthen our faith and give us a spirit of discernment to be able to discern what is right and what is wrong. Strengthen our faith. In your blessed name I pray, amen.